From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQEN weather, sunny, and it is a heat wave, triple digits, 100 today in the Umpqua Valley with somewhat of a decline in air quality. Patchy smoke tonight in the mix, otherwise clear down to 63. Widespread haze and patchy smoke tomorrow, looking for 104 as we have the heat warning, or a heat advisory for tomorrow that may change to a warning by then. Thursday night, widespread haze, clear down to 64. And Friday, sunny and hot, and a high of 100 degrees. Right now, 77 degrees in Roseburg. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
For the last several years, we've done a series of programs, and we are beginning again today, a back-to-school series, a look at what's going on in the Umpqua Valley when it comes to education as the school year is underway. And the first program with Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon. Great to be here.
So, talk about yesterday, the first day for a lot of the students, but I know you kind of roll it in phases, right?
Well, kind of, yeah, we do. We had a lot of our students back. The elementary school, everyone's grades 1 to 5 were all back. And we kind of roll our kindergartners in as we do some work with those families this week. And we just had 6th graders at middle school and 9th graders at high school. It's a new shift for them, and so we made sure they had the day, and we had leadership kids there and lots of great instruction, and so we could make sure they start today. All kids are back, feeling like they know where their classes are, where things are at. So,
What was the first day like? Any weird glitches?
First day was amazing, actually. I just a huge shout-out to, was it our secondary schools, at several of our schools, but it's really, really great to see our, particularly our upper grade students helping our lower grade students. If you haven't had a chance to see what Link Crew does or leadership does at the high and middle school levels, that was great. It was kind of like, it felt like to me an October, November day at the elementary schools, things were just humming, just right along. Kids were excited to be there and really smooth first day.
And over the course of the summer, I know some things took place. What programs were you able to offer this year?
Yeah, we did run some summer programs. The elementary, probably the most notable one was early literacy. There was a grant that came out from the Department of Education, and it focused on mostly grades K-3. This year, we could do some 4th and 5th as well, really to improve, to make sure kids had, you know, the skills around literacy. That'd be phonemic awareness, comprehension. And the great thing was kids had access to a lot of great books and high quality instruction. That was the big one. We did certainly some secondary things for credit retrieval. Good summer with our students, but it's a smaller number in the summer. It's good to have them all back.
Now, what about kind of looking towards this year as the school year starts? Talk about some of the programs like in the technical area, robotics and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's amazing as we talk to people. I talk to people in the community that aren't really always aware of the rich opportunities we've got for kids. And these come really at no cost. Our what they used to call vocational ed, those programs, we call them career technical education now, really strong. So we've got lots of those. There's, of course, the robotics, lots of extracurricular activities. There's college credit courses. What we're trying to do is make sure kids have an interest and they see a pathway for their future. I had someone ask me the other day about, hey, what's your hope for the year? We certainly want to make sure kids are cared for and supported. Absolutely, graduation is a key for us as well. But the big focus there is to make sure kids are ready to have a career in our community and beyond. So really making sure they can graduate with a plan to be successful in the future. And there are so many opportunities here in Douglas County. We're trying to capitalize on that as well.
And I know that you've worked with some of the industry folks and different people in this since you've been here. I mean, going back, kind of the classic transition was for students to get out of Roseburg High to go to one of the universities. and come back for Christmas. And that was the last we ever saw of them. And for some of us, that's indeed the case that we're living. I had one that left and comes back about once a year. And I know that you're working really hard to get opportunities tied into education. So at least there is the opportunity to stay here.
Yeah, for sure. There are so many amazing opportunities here. And we need to think about how we incentivize kids to leave, because we sometimes do that. It's unintentional. And I'm not at all opposed to the university system, and I think there's great, I mean, we have a great partnership with the college. But what we're trying to do is be very intentional. I'll give you an example. The advanced medical pathway we have in partnership with our medical partners and the college and the schools, I mean, it's amazing. We'll have, to my knowledge, the only high school students in the country that will doubly dual enroll at UCC and Oregon Health Sciences University. There's a pathway for a high-wage, high-demand professional job in our community as part of our schools. And that's, I don't think that's always been understood. We need to make sure our young people see a path forward to support our community here long-term. That is a job that they would oftentimes think they have to go outside of Roseburg to get.
And when you get into some of these things like robotics and all of that, the other thing is to keep in mind how fast those industries are evolving. I just heard over the weekend that coding isn't something you want to go into now because AI is largely replacing it. And yet, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, everybody was excited about it. Now, apparently, the national folks say not so much.
Yeah, it is interesting. We try to stay on top of those trends. We do have a really good advanced manufacturing program, and it pairs with a college. A lot of industries here, here locally, you know, including, you know, there's lots of manufacturing here in the county and wood products. And really, the uptick of that is it's changing pretty dramatically. And I think the point is, really, we view education as being a partner with our business community and families to make sure kids, you know, can, you know, really break the chain of poverty if that's where they live, and to move forward with a career and a life they're happy with.
Now, talk about heat. This week, we've got heat back for the first week of school. We have a little bit of smoke, but not anywhere near what we've dealt with in some of the recent past years. Talk about what you've done in that area.
Yeah, the heat has become, you know, it's been hot for years here in the county. And one thing that's changed is that OSHA a couple of years ago came out with, they call them the heat illness prevention guidelines. And, you know, in a lot of schools, it's not a huge deal because you have some climate control. It does become complicated for us here in our schools where we have fewer spaces that can be, you can drop the heat down in. So we've watched that closely. We actually had a half a day last year where we had to close. That was actually a combination of both heat and smoke. And so you couldn't really open the windows. But we're watching that closely. We have to do some monitoring and adjusting. If it got really, really hot, like in the 106 range, what they call an adjusted temperature, and that's temperature and humidity, that's called the heat index, then it does make it actually hard to comply with this law. And actually, we really can't do school. So we've watched it closely this week. You just said 104 before the broadcast. Last I saw was 102, so fingers crossed. We've got a plan here moving forward, but we do have to watch the heat, make sure our kids are safe, our staff safe, and just take advantage of the spaces we have that are conditioned.
And one of the things that you've worked on since you've been here is that whole issue of increased air conditioning. A lot of people, when you think about a building that's got 40, 50 computers in it, and then you tell them it's not air conditioned, and they just look at you. But yet that's the condition many of the schools are in.
Yeah, and you know, our buildings now, if you take a look at the high school, has, you know, probably in the neighborhood of 2,000 computers. Every student has a Chromebook. And yeah, so I think it's something that we've applied for multiple grants. We did hear back on the Renew America Schools grant. I think there were 7 school districts, I think, that were able to access those funds. And we should have some funding for some HVAC for a couple of our schools. That'd be Jolene and Fremont. But it's something we continue to kind of figure out how we're going to get that taken care of. But, you know, we're working on lots of aspects. That's one aspect. We've done quite a bit of work this year on, you know, safety and security and other aspects as we move on.
Now, I'm curious, and I know the first week you don't always have everybody dialed in because some people end up coming back from trips late or whatever. For the district overall, how's enrollment looking?
It's been actually really, I think, steady. COVID was a fascinating time with enrollment. We saw some pretty big spikes in enrollment. At one point we were down about 10% of our students, which was pretty significant. It's really stabilized since then. The numbers last year to this year really, the previous year to this year and the year before have been stable. We have some initial enrollment numbers right now. They're about, I think, 5,700 kids yesterday. But we do see lots of move-ins, people that realize school started that maybe just get to the community. We'll have a better idea on enrollment, but the numbers have been pretty stable the last couple of years.
All right, more when we come back on Inside Douglas County. Superintendent Jared Corden at Roseburg Public Schools. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. As we begin our back to school series tomorrow, we'll talk to Superintendent Jeff Clark of the Oakland School District. As you get underway for the year, what was it like in terms of the number of folks you had to hire? New teachers, new other staff? How did that look?
Yeah, so it's always busy. We have about 800 employees, so it's, you know, when you think about retirements and people moving, and we hired about 70 people this year, and about 35 what we call licensed teachers. I mean, and about 35 staff that aren't licensed, but they could be classified or administrators. So about 70 new hires this year.
Is that a little above normal?
It's a little above normal, but that's, we tend to see a little less turnover with our licensed staff. We are always out recruiting, looking for people, and most of those positions, our licensed staff are full right now. We still do have some classified positions open, and a couple coaches, athletic coaches and some things, but we're feeling pretty good about the staffing right now. We're about, in the licensed side, about 99% staffed right now, and we've got a couple more people to hire on the classified side.
Do you still have any long-term concerns, as it still appears less people are getting into education, at least through traditional pathways?
Oh, I absolutely do. I think, when I say concern, it's not panic, but when I even just talk to my own kids or students at the high school, the middle school, about their life paths, I hear fewer students seeing education as a life path. And so, we look at university enrollment, and it is something that I think we need to do a better job of branding the benefits of that. And some of those benefits are really about, what you want to do with your life to make a difference. And some of them also can be financial. I don't think people always view education as a pathway like they used to. There was some interesting research I read about a month ago that said they interviewed a number of high school students across the country, and 70% of the high school students saw entrepreneurship as their pathway. And that may just be the times we live in, where you can, you have a little more autonomy to do things, but it's certainly something in terms of building our own pathways forward, thinking about how do we make sure students within our school see education as a positive pathway for them.
For the Roseburg High School campus, somebody asked me the other day what the status of the one main building is.
Oh, yeah, the Old Main.
Old Main, there we go. That didn't sound right.
Yeah, it was effectively shuttered a few years back, but that's partially shuttered. We don't have any classes in there with one exception, and that's weightlifting. We don't have another spot really for weightlifting, and that happens if you've been in that building. It's kind of in that main area that had the former gym cafeteria stage in it, and that still happens. So we have kids one class a day in there, or one class per period there. So we have a limited number of students in there, and that's about all that's happened with that building.
And any thoughts about the future of it?
Well, certainly, I think it's a discussion we want to have with our community about, you know, what should we do? It would be great to have that building rebuilt. It'd be fantastic. The building actually, I think, turns 100 this year. It was built in 1924.
Wow.
And so, you know, we had some renderings of what it would look like, the new, you know, the kind of the new main, what it could look like. You know, we had some great renderings, and there was a little bit of maybe, I don't know, skepticism or fear about it going away. But when we showed some of the architectural features, what it could look like, a lot of positives about that. I mean, I think it's a building that's important. It's important to have a building on campus where that building is, and that'll be a discussion with our community.
Well, and a lot of times people, I mean, there's the nostalgia factor of a building, even if you're not really using it. It kind of reminds me a bit of at the University of Oregon, before Matthew Knight Arena was built, I had started going to basketball games periodically in the former facility, which I was just in not that long ago, because it is still used for other things. But everybody was up in arms about, oh, this is going to be terrible and all that. That lasted for one game. And they looked around and saw how great it was and how wide the aisles were and how many improvements were and all of that. So, you know, sometimes people are a little fickle about old buildings. But I know you've looked at a lot of opportunities, not just at the high school, but the other buildings, because we really have got a district full of old buildings.
Yeah, I think the message for listeners is we're doing what we can. I mean, we've made some really great upgrades around safety with the COVID funds, they call them ESSER funds. We're trying to, you know, we've got some seismic work happening, and just props to everybody working on that. It's been really, really great. We are actively seeking opportunities to strengthen an old and aging infrastructure, and that's the reality. We're doing what we can to make sure these buildings can go as long as they can and be as efficient as they can. But we're at probably a point soon of having another conversation of what should we do in the community, what do we want to invest in. We haven't had a lot of new building. We've done one bond in 40 years, and that did the new part of the high school, which looks amazing, in the Rose Theater. But we're doing what we can. But I think in the community, if people were to see what's possible and happening, people would be excited about it.
Well, and you also have the challenge because of, for instance, the city of Roseburg boundaries, which are not the same as the school district boundaries, but a lot of that is, it's been a limited ability to build new homes because of a lack of buildable lots that are not on, elevated slopes or whatever, which has brought up a lot of discussion about the Charter Oaks area. And people are having less kids, so in some ways there hasn't been this crunching need to build, for instance, a new building.
Yeah, I still do think I do think we have some opportunities on the horizon in terms of just the things happening in the schools that are attracting people who are interested. And so I do think the community will be on the rise in terms of an interest in leaning into that. We have lots of professional positions. And I know people want to be here. Why wouldn't you want to be here in Douglas County? It's a great place to live, a great place to raise a family. And I think, you know, the discussions about what we want to do to support that vision are going to be important moving forward.
Over at Finley Field, I understand now, tell me where we're at on this. A new lighting system, is that coming or is that already there?
Yeah, that's actually already installed. Looks great. That was some additional grant funding. Some of that came from some Energy Trust money. There were some things we cobbled together. We had those old halogen lights that were great. They were great probably when they were installed. If you'd been to, say, a night game, whether it's football or whatever, you could see there were some dark spots on the field. And those have all been replaced with really fantastic lighting. The lighting does some really cool things. We've kind of tested that out. We do have some athletic events coming up, got soccer and football on Friday, and we're looking forward to showing those off and really having a bright experience for kids and community. It's really exciting to see some of those investments. It's kind of a microcosm of what could be.
And as well for the high school campus, I know you've continued to work on acquiring some of the adjacent property to the north of the campus between the campus and the river.
Yeah, that's been long before I got here. A discussion the board had years ago, and it's been great to kind of continue what we can do to think about acquiring that property behind the high school. So that would be on Finley, you know, behind, as you go north to the river. And so the district actually owns the majority of the properties back there, with a couple of exceptions. That's where we, you know, that property allowed us to do the softball field. And there are some renditions of what it could be for field space. We do have also very limited parking at that high school for the amount of students we have. And so it gives us some opportunities to think about growth there. The high school currently sits on, I think, about 26 acres. And that's normally it's about 40 to 50 for a high school about that size. So eventually it could give us some more space to think about the right development.
All right, a lot going on at Roseburg Public Schools, and we're out of time. We'll talk again soon. Superintendent Jared Fortin, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.